just go around the house and until somebody says yes. And I'll sing a song in the book of Luke tonight, in the 7th chapter is where we'll be reading from. And we ask that you pray for us as we so say about every time that we get behind the pulpit, that we certainly will never be get to the place where we don't need the prayers of brothers and sisters, especially when it comes to the Word of God. And we can, God gives us talent, God gives us skill, but when it comes to the Word, it takes the Holy Spirit to be able to preach. And I recognize that, and I certainly ask that you pray for us for a few minutes tonight. In 7th chapter book of Luke, go down with me if you would, at the 36th verse, reading here, and starting here at the 36th verse. He said, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went and sat into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in that city, which was a sinner, which she knew that Jesus sat at meat at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. He said, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And stop reading there with that story. He did go on to tell that woman in verse 48, thy sins are forgiven. And tonight, what a wonderful story from here in the book of Luke. And in my Bible, I often sometimes will write down the text that the Lord had blessed me to preach from in times past. And a text that I used in years past on these verses was, how much do you love the Lord? But tonight I'd like to ask, how much has He forgiven you? How much has He forgiven you? When I think about all the things that God has done for us, how could we not love Him more than life itself? How could we not love Him more than even the very essence of life and all that we have and the things that He has blessed us with? When I think about all that God has done for us and how much He has forgiven us. And let's talk about that first, when the Pharisee was ridiculing this woman and thinking to himself, if he only knew, if he was a prophet and knew, he would know that this woman that is washing his feet with her tears is nothing but a sinner. In those eyes, there's not a one of us that can look at anybody else and say that I am better than they are, that I have not sinned as much as they have sinned. For the Bible says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. It also teaches us that if we have broken one part of the law, we're guilty of all of it. So even though we might have different measurements for sin, the Bible teaches us that God does not have different levels of sin, that all is as filthy rags. All of our righteousness is filthy rags. And all of our doings today, when God looks at sin, He looks at it as it is and for what it is, and not that it's measured by different levels like we would do. And this Pharisee was thinking this, and as he was thinking this in his head, Christ spoke to him. And no doubt it startled him that he would know what I was thinking as this woman was washing his feet with her tears. But you see, Jesus reversed it back to the Pharisee and said, look at all the things that she has done that when I came in your house, you did not. You didn't wash my feet. He said also, he said, you gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet. And he said, you didn't anoint my head with oil, but this woman anointed my feet. Thou did not anoint me, but this woman anointed my feet with ointment, that she took care of all those things that it was supposed to do for a guest. When a guest came to his house, it was customary for him to do all this, but he could not humble himself in such a manner to get down and do these for Christ. This woman had, she was humbled. In her humility, she got down and did what the Pharisee would not do, because she realized that this man was not just a normal man, but he was the Son of God. And as she began, no doubt that she was there with her tears and with the ointment and with the kisses that she was giving unto the Lord, that she was no doubt had a repentant heart for all that she had done. It reminded me of the story, you remember, of the Pharisee and the publican at the temple at the hour of prayer. That the Pharisee was looking at this man who was a sinner, and this man that was a known sinner, and was saying that I'm thankful that I'm not like this man that's next to me, this publican that's next to me. And the publican, he didn't have anything to brag about. We don't see this woman bragging about all the good things that she had done. She just come in with a repentant heart, asking God if you'll have it through her tears for forgiveness of her sins. And you say, well, I didn't read that in that story. How can you say that she was repentant heart through the tears? How many of you and I remember when we come to the Lord? I didn't have a lot of words. I didn't have any words. But it was tears of sorrow that we cried. And you know, we have lost that in our churches. People think that crying is a sign of weakness, when really it's a sign of strength, when you're able to realize where God brought you from and be appreciative, acknowledging that had it not been for God, every one of us would still be lost in our sins, headed to hell and destruction. There's not, if it were possible, there wouldn't be a dry eye in hell, because people are weeping. And the Bible says there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, that they're trying to find comfort, but it's too late. Now, they're not ashamed to shed the tears. They know how much that they sin and how much God forgave them for. And when I think about what all that He has forgiven me, I'm not just talking. Every one of us remember the night or the day that we got saved. He forgave us of a lot that day, did He not? He forgave us of all of our sin that we had ever committed against Him and God and heaven. But how many of us have sinned since we've been saved? And I'll get a Wednesday night crowd to wake up. But we've had to go back and ask Him, even since He forgave us of our sins, to forgive us again and again and again. We ought to love the Lord more than any other bunch of people there are, because of how much that He has forgiven us. He's forgiven us so much. People say, well, I wouldn't get up and brag about how much you've done wrong. I've already explained that if we broke one part of this law, the Ten Commandments that is here to my right and to your left on the wall, if we broke one of those, we're guilty of all of them. He's forgiven all of us of more than what we could ever begin to itemize or to list or to be able to tell somebody else about. And it's not important to tell somebody else how much He's forgiven us. It's more important that we show how much we love Him because of what He's done for us. And you know what He said? He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll be found with the brothers and sisters in church. If you love me, you'll be found trying to get the lost saved. And if you love me, you'll be having compassion on those that are without and those that are out of fellowship with God. Because you say, well, I've never read all those scriptures as you have quoted them to us tonight. But does not the scripture say that if we see a brother or sister at fault, that those that are spiritual are supposed to restore them back in fellowship with the church? He knows how much that we have done. He knows how much He's forgiven us. But God will never itemize or tell us how much we ought to love Him because of what He's done with. In fact, He says it like this. What we ought to do from the time that He forgives us of our sin, we ought to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. With everything we have, we ought to love the Lord. With everything. We ought to love the Lord more than we love anybody else. That'll get you quiet. But that's what the scripture says. He's done more for us than mom and dad. He's done more for us than spouse or brother or sister. In fact, Jesus said it like this. If any man that follows me, he says he must be willing to walk away from mom and dad. He must be willing to walk away from brothers and sisters. What he's saying to us is that we should have nothing else between us and God that we love more than we love Him. We ought to love Him with everything we have. He's forgiven us of so much. Not only is He forgiven us, but when we think about that, that ought to cause us to love Him, all just in that in itself. But has anybody read about the place He's prepared for us? We love Him because He forgave us. We love Him even more because of the place He's prepared for us. But you've heard me say this so many times over the years. I love Him more for the place I don't have to go to. If heaven, I know that the Bible says that the streets are gold and walls are jasper and gates of pearl, and there's many mansions that the Bible talks about, and many different people preach it many different ways, and I'm not wanting to cover that part tonight, but if heaven was nothing more than a gravel road with a bunch of little shanties along the side of it, I'd still want to go because I'm not having to die and go to hell, and because of that, I love the Lord with all that I have within me today. And I'm sorry, and I apologize to Him, and I pray for forgiveness when we fall and come short of doing His glory. People say, well, if you love Him so much, how can you fall short? No matter how much we love Him, folks, we all are going to come short. But it doesn't change the fact that we love Him. I was thinking about this, and I want to share this. Becky knows I love her, but I don't always come and do it at the right level. I often fall short of showing her how much I love her. It's the same way with God. My outward... Paul had this battle. You Bible readers know that Paul said that there's a constant warfare that's going on. He said that I would not, and that I would not, I do. Because he says that this flesh is enmity with the spirit. There's this warfare that's going on. And sometimes when God lays something upon our heart, and we ought to, you know, sometimes it's as simple as just raising your hand when the Lord lays it upon your heart, and we don't do it, we've let Him down. It could be as simple as telling somebody else about Jesus. And if we don't do it, we've let it down. And it doesn't look like we love Him as much as what we do. And every time that happens, the moment it happens, anybody else ever done this? The moment it happens, you know what you've done. And you try to make up for it. The next time somebody sings a song, you want to raise your hand, but it's no good. It does not accomplish the same because you didn't do it when God told you to do it. He said, how much do you love the Lord? To him that a lot is forgiven, he loveth a lot. To them that is forgiven a little, they loveth a little. Now he was making a natural example of these two that had a great debt. There's not a one of us today that can say, I love the Lord less because he forgave me less than what he did everybody else. Because the Bible says sin is sin in the eyes of God. To every one of us, we ought to all love him the same amount and more. And you say, well, he gave that example. He gave us an earthly example. Somebody in life does something good to you and befriends you, you're going to love them more than the one who has never done anything for you. It's only natural. It's human. He gave that example because it was something that Pharisee could relate with. Every one of us as Christians ought to love the Lord with all that we have, because he has done so much for every one of us. I was thinking today, and we have so much that we can begin to itemize why we love the Lord so much. He allowed us to be born in the greatest of all countries that there is in the world. You hear me often ridicule and criticize the government of the United States of America. But even with all of her problems, she's still the best country that there is in the world. And there's still hope for. Still hope for. And every time, let me put this in the envelope, every time my hopes start getting on the increase, the devil come along and do something, knock us right back down on our feet. Off our feet. You say, well, what happened now? The new coins that's being circulated, they took "In God We Trust" off of them. Watch for them. They're being circulated. What more do we have to do as a country to show God how little that we love him? After all that he has done for us, we as a country are showing him that we don't love him like we once did. And I say that as a country, that as a collective group, but individually tonight, I'm glad there's still some folks that love the Lord as much or more than they ever have. I thought about this today. Page 8 would be a good invitational song for this message. And some of you say, page 8, you ought to know by now, is "I Love the Lord." And if we truly love the Lord, it's not a burden to do anything that he asks us to do. And if we know, as this Pharisee knew what he was supposed to do for a guest that come into his house, and he didn't do it, if we know what the Lord expects from us as his people, it ought not be a burden to do them on his behalf. Because he did everything in his power to do everything according to his Father's will, so you and I could gather here on a Wednesday night in 2013. And praise the Lord that we're saved and on our way to heaven. And try to tell somebody else and show somebody else how much we love the Lord. Do you love him tonight? Amen. Has he forgiven you of a lot? Amen. Then we ought to love him a lot. Because he's done so much for us. Think about all the things that God has done to show you his love towards you. And then let's think about what have we done to show our love back to him. And everything we do, if we do it for the wrong purpose, and let me get my wordings right. We do it because we feel obligated to do it. That's for the wrong purpose. If we do it out of love, God will receive it. In the Old Testament, then I'll close. God told them exactly how the sacrifices had to be prepared and how they had to be selected. But men started loving the things of the world more than they loved God, and they started offering up sacrifices that did not meet God's criteria. You know what they were saying? It's, I love the money, I love the world, I love my crops, I love my herd more than I love you, God. That's what they were saying. That's why God from the beginning of time said, in the fullness of time, there will come a lamb without blemish and spot to pay the price, to show the world a love like they have never seen before. Because the Bible says, no greater love have a man for his friend than he would lay, or that he would lay down his life for his friend. And you know what the Bible says? He called us his friends. He loved us. And the Bible says that we will know that we are of God And you say, well, how will I be known that I'm of God? The Bible says that one way you know that you passed from death unto life is because you love the brethren. Amen. You can't love the brethren without loving God. It's impossible. It's impossible. But when God puts that love in you, folks, you can't help to love everyone. You don't have to love their ways. You don't have to love their actions. But you have to love that soul that's there. Because God gave His Son to die for that soul as much as He did for you and I. And tonight, when that soul gets saved, they will love the Lord with all that they have. Robin, Sharon, get us a song tonight. I don't know your hearts, but I know this. I love the Lord. I may not always show it to Him like I should. And you say, well, you're a preacher, you're a pastor. How can you say you don't always show it? There's sometimes the day is far spent before I even realize that I haven't looked up and even thanked Him for waking me up that day. There are some days I get so caught up in everything else that's going on that I think about, did I even mention His name? Did I even tell Him I loved Him? And that's when I find out that our lives have become too saturated. When we don't even have time for the one who loves us more than we love ourselves. He loves us, but how much do we love Him? We ought to love Him with all that we have and try our best every day to show that love toward Him. And often by showing our love one toward another, we are showing love to Him through a brother and sister. And I think that's why Tara gets so excited when she talks about that family that they've been working and helping so much. It's because by showing them love, it's showing the world that there are people that still love God, still love their fellow man, don't agree with all the things that they've done, don't agree with the things that they've done wrong, don't agree that these little children are paying the price for the sins of their mother and father. Don't agree with all that, but yet there's love. And the Bible says that love will cover a multitude of sins. So no matter where we're at, God and His love is able to forgive us of all of our sins. And our love toward Him, He's not asking us to be religious. The Pharisee was religious. They were a religious sect. He's not asking us to be religious. In fact, what does He say? He says that faith, hope, and charity. But He said the greatest of these is what? Charity, which is love. It's the greatest of all attributes that we can have. It's love. Would you stand while they sing a verse of a song?
I love a blessed Savior.
Yes. Do you love Him tonight? He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll do the will of my Father which sent me, if you love me. Yes. I love Him tonight. And I know you do. Yes, sing it out.
From His dear side, I'll never.
Tonight. Yes, amen. Before we close tonight, it's terrible for me to have to stand up here and say this as a pastor. And I hope Jeff's got the CD stopped now. If he doesn't, if you give him a moment to stop it, you can be